Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Almost Awesome Esports podcast. That song was Frost by Companion. The full song will be played at the end, as well as a link to the song will be left in the description. My name is Simon, and this week we are Benless, not only joined by Taryn.
The best. How are you, Taryn? The best of the three of us. What's going on?
Yeah, it's definitely, it runs a bit smoother without Ben here.
It makes your editing a little easier as well without the 35 mistakes that people wouldn't hear.
It does. For those who are new to this podcast, we are most of the time a three-person, somewhat weekly podcast where we talk about esports and the standing of our favorite games. Unfortunately, Ben isn't with us today, so there'll be no Rocket League news. That'll pick up next week. Hopefully, Ben has his computer again.
Yay.
So, really, into the news, we'll go right into Smite right now. So the last few weeks of the OPL are upon us, with week 8 of out of 10 wrapping up. Llamas in Pyjamas tied with Pandemonium as they both won a match of their series this week. Avant-Garde beat Cordovay 2-0 and Insight beat Deadweight 2-0. In the international scene, the Challenger Cups for both NA and EU, with Sanguine Esports and Most Wanted Esports qualifying for the 4-split in NA, and Exist and whatever qualifying for the EU 4-split. Everyone's favourite esports organisation, Fnatic, withdrew from Smite. Hopefully we'll see why that is and what happens to their spot in the SPL. Over to you, Taryn, for the giant bit of league news.
There's not that much this week. There's only three quarters of a page. So in North America, TSM are still on top with 14 straight series wins, with Immortals sitting just behind them with the one loss to TSM earlier in the split. Cloud9 and Team Liquid sit in third. The rise of the Phoenix has continued, with Phoenix 1 taking a win last week over Energy Esports, while the fall of Echo Fox continues with losses to TSM and Immortals last week. Looking forward to this week, and I think the upset of the split could happen with Phoenix 1 at least taking a game from TSM and potentially the series. Over in EU, and the Misfits have taken out the Challenger Series 3-0 against Millennium. Over in the LCS, G2 still sits on top, undefeated with 0 losses, although they do have 7 ties, with Fnatic sitting in 2nd with 7 wins and 4 ties. Splice are surprisingly in 3rd. Meanwhile, at the bottom, we've got Origin in 9th and Rocat in 10th. Over to the LCK now, and we had two amazing games this week, with everybody's favourite Devil Teemo accidentally being picked twice this week. So CJ accidentally picked Teemo last Thursday, which what we believe should have been a Tahm Kench. And KT did pretty much the same thing the following day in game 2 against Jhinnair. Both games, Teemo ended up playing top lane against Anar. Both games were lost terribly. To the LCK ladder now, and ROX Tigers still sit in first with 11 wins and 3 losses, with SKT in second with 9 wins and 3 losses. Of course, they've got 2 games to catch up there. Samsung Galaxy sits in third with 9 wins and 4 losses. Down the bottom, and CJ Enter sits in last with 2 wins and 10 losses. Nearly done with the league, Simon. And moving over to LPL, in Group A, EDG sits in top, still undefeated, with Snake Esports sitting in second with 6 wins and 5 losses. Seems like EDG is going to be the top team in China. Invictus sits in last with 2 series wins and 9 losses. Moving to Group B now, and Royal Never Give Up comes out on top with 10 wins and 1 loss, with Aimee and Team World Elite sitting in second with 7 wins and 4 losses. It's a much closer group than Group A, so it'll be interesting to see how the finals pan out in a few weeks' time. OMG sit on the bottom with 3 wins and 8 losses. Nearly done again. And moving to the LMS, J Team sit on top with 6 wins, 2 ties, and 0 losses, with Flash Wolves just behind with 6 wins, 1 tie, and 1 loss. Team Mist sit at the bottom, winless, with 8 losses.
Feels bad, man.
And
definitely feels bad.
It really does. 8 losses in a row. And finally, yes, I actually mean finally this time. In the OPL, Legacy sit on top with 8 wins and 1 loss, with Dire Wolves close behind with 7 wins and 2 losses. Hellions round out a very disappointing ladder, sitting at the bottom with 9 losses.
9 losses. Still also feels bad, and it's not as bad as Team Mist.
Let's move over from the fighty-fighty to the shooty-shooty with some CSGO news.
Yeah, that's right. So the E-League moves on to the quarterfinals this week, with Envious taking on Fnatic, Astralis taking on Massports, Virtus Pro taking on NIP, and Navi taking on Choke9. Obviously, Choke9 is, well, not doing great. Speaking of Choke9, they have not choked for once, taking out the IBP Invitational 2-0 against TSM. That's good for Cloud9 fans, which I am, and it's good to see them at least winning something.
Yeah. Ever. There were no real upsets in the tournament, with pretty much, you know, exactly what you expected. One of the better American teams taking out one of the second better American teams. No real upsets in the quarterfinals either.
And finally, Ricker has joined Renegades, replacing the retired Spongey. He will take up the opposition with Yam moving into IGL. Now to the 1 minute quickie. So Taren, do you want to go first with this with your question this week?
Yes. My question for you is: first of all, do you listen to metal music?
I do. Yes.
So what is your favorite genre of metal? Because everyone knows there's 30 different genres of metal, from heavy metal to death metal to hardcore metal to soft metal.
Soft metal. So I think I've spoken about this before, but I'm a kind of a fan of like deathcore and metalcore.
So you're into the
as well as
I want to fucking kill like, myself, dude.
Like dude-a. The hard like screamo, as people call it, but it's like much heavier. Like if you're ever curious, you can go and look at like stuff like Rings of Saturn. Is a very like it's a very very like heavy.
So like
as well as like Infinite Annihilator is a good one. They have songs about stillborn babies and raping stillborn babies. That's pretty good.
So, like, screamo music mixed with heavy metal.
Yeah, it's very, very dark and very, very screamy. If you don't understand the lyrics, then that's not, like, that's very common that you just don't understand what they're saying.
You'd actually probably like one of my mate's bands, Atlantis of the Sky. I'll have to send you a link to them because that's pretty much what they do.
Send me that. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Taren? What are you into? Are you into that metal?
I'm slowly getting into it. As I said, I went to one of my mate's concerts for Atlantis of the Sky, and it's not my sort of music. Far, far too heavy. More into sort of the, you know, the, I call it sort of soft metal, things like, you know, the newer Disturbed stuff.
Is it like pop punk?
Hmm?
Like pop punk? Like, stuff like old My Chemical Romance and stuff like that.
Yeah, sort of stuff like that. Which I sort of, I classify it sort of, mainly the new sort of Disturbed stuff. I've sort of, it's not really metal. Like, especially things like The Sound of Silence, you can't really classify that sort of stuff as metal.
Definitely.
But I sort of look at it as sort of soft metal. It's sort of an introduction into the metal genre.
Yeah. That's fair.
But yeah, I mean, there's so much metal out there.
That's fair. That's fair enough. There's a lot of metal and there's a lot of different bands to listen to. So if you are into it, go and find out your own real niche of it. So my question for this week, Taren, is I think we've spoken about this before, but I want to ask you again. What's your drink of choice? What do you drink if you want to get drunk?
Well, when I'm drinking sort of on a budget, I drink beers. So I'll usually buy a carton of beer and sort of just stay out the back and drink 16, 17 beers.
Cool. Jesus Christ.
What? What's wrong with that?
17 beers.
Hang on, was it 17? I bought a carton, there was
24?
Yeah, I know there was 24, but there was 8 left at the end, so Carl took one, so 15 over the course of about 6-7 hours.
Okay, that's 15 over 7 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's like more than 2 an hour, or just over 2 an hour.
Something like that, yeah. Pretty fucked up. Don't do it too often. But outside that, I could drink probably anything. If someone's buying me a drink, I'll drink whatever you get me. Rum, Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, Corona. I'll drink whatever. But rum has slowly grown on me.
Yeah?
Yeah. What about you? What do you drink?
Well, I'm not of the age to drink yet, but if I have to go, if I'm going to a party or something, I'll just like, if I'm like going to a party where I know that I don't really want to get super drunk, but I want to get a little bit tipsy, I'll have like ciders and stuff like that, because I'm not a fan of beers because they taste like shit, but if I have a cider, then I at least can drink it and be like liking it.
What's wrong with beers?
But, they're just bitter and gross.
Your tastes haven't developed yet.
Yeah, I'm, yeah, okay. But yeah, ciders are sweet and they're like nice to drink. So
see, I could never get into ciders. Yeah. I tasted cider and it just tastes, yeah.
It's just sweet and it's nice because it's sweet and it's not like overpowering.
It tastes like it's just a shit wine. And wine's pretty shit to begin with.
Goon every day.
Oh, I haven't seen Goon in forever.
Goon's great, dude.
No.
Get yourself some Goon.
No.
That's my like word of the day or like phrase of the day for everyone watching. Get yourself some Goon. Have a good time.
Oh, I have to get some Goon when I come up to Queensland because I'll be a tight ass while I'm up there and just fucking drink Goon.
Yeah, man. Get fucked up.
So tight ass. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, moving on now. And this week we have an interview with Drew, a member of the University of Wollongong's Video Association, speaking about what the Video Game Association is and esports in Oceania. Enjoy. So this week we're joined by Drew from University of Wollongong's Video Game Association. How are you going, Drew?
Good, yourself, Tarry?
Not too bad. There's probably quite a few people out there that haven't heard of VGA. What is the Video Game Association?
So we say the Video Game Association, VGA for short, just so it's easier, is a group of like-minded video gamers who came together in 2012 to really build up the video game community in Wollongong University, but the Illawarra as a whole. We have a huge group of League players, Dota K players, FGC, consoles, of course now Pokemon Go as well. We'll probably do a few things for that, handhelds, console, just anything gaming. We kind of just run as much as we can for it and try and build a big community for it.
Okay, cool. Do you have any walks around Illawarra area for Pokemon Go yet?
So we're doing one on Monday just for the university and the botanical gardens across from us. Just, it's a small area, but the university and botanical gardens have about 25 Pokestops, 3 gyms. So it's a nice close little area that we can kind of build a huge group around.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So for people who aren't at the University of Wollongong, is it more for students or is there sort of activities there for people that don't study there as well?
So all of our events are open to the public. Anyone and everyone can join. The only things that are just for students are like collegiate and university championships for LoL and Dota. Those are the only student specific, but anyone and anyone can join. Anything is open to all ages unless it's something specific R18+, but we allow anyone to come into the event. We actually do try and push out to the wider public with connecting with different groups and different, I guess, non-uni events just to show that we are open to everyone.
Okay, cool. Do you have any events other than sort of the Pokemon Go one you were talking about before coming up in the next couple of weeks that people might be interested in?
Yep, so our huge yearly event Game Fest is coming up. It's a 24-hour LAN gaming convention. That has tournaments for LoL, Dota, Rocket League, CSGO, Overwatch, console games, card games, stores for developers and artists if they want to come up. We have a stage going with a cosplay competition. We're hoping to do a showcase build to people to show how to build your PC with modders there to happy to ask any questions. It's really just an event for the Illawarra gaming community.
Okay, cool. So it essentially just brings, you know, everything of sort of nerd culture all together for 24 yes. hours.
And we this will be the fourth year going. Our first president, Daniel Lee, had the idea and he just went at it full steam ahead. And we've kind of just built on it year on, just year going on, yeah. from year on. Yeah, just trying to building it on from one step to another, just trying to really expand it as much as we can.
Okay, cool. How's it going year on year? Is it sort of, are you getting bigger yearly or is it sort of just a steady sort of rate or?
So we have really built it on from the first year where we had a lot of electrical issues. We didn't know how badly the building was built electrically. It was all just, it was all backpacking off the other side of the building.
Ouch.
So the consoles were fine. They were the one with the main really well built power area, but the PCs were the ones that were piggybacking. So it,
Sorry.
We had about 120 PCs trying to work off one little area, and the problem was they were going off one circuit board.
Ouch.
So we kind of, we didn't blow it up.
Thankfully.
No.
So what do? You have like a bunch of power boards sort of just linked right across, or?
They were all on the one PowerPoints, but the problem was it was all really working off one circuit board, so it just blew it up once we started switching it all on.
Yeah, I see what you mean, so especially with gaming PCs.
Yeah, they kind of, when you start going 600, 700 watt builds, you start, I guess, really pushing it, whereas the second year we kind of fully laid it out. Okay, we're going to put all these PCs into little areas and make sure everyone's connecting up a certain way so we don't overwork it. So we haven't had any issues other than that first year, and we're really trying to expand on each year. So last year was when we started pushing the day pass, putting a stage in, cosplay competition. This year we're really working with sponsors, trying to build up our online presence with a stream and getting a lot more people from the university involved to really build hands-on experience for people as well.
Okay, cool. So moving away from VGA for a second here, you were saying before that you have sort of teams in sort of collegiate and university tournaments. What are your thoughts on sort of, you know, the esports scene in Australia?
So the esports scene, I guess, it is building, but the problem is we don't have enough consistent events compared to the overseas esports scene. That once you see our teams go overseas, and they don't get dominated, but they do have a hard time competing with those teams who have consistent events, a constant turnaround of high-end players that really, I guess, put their training on another level than what we can afford in the Oceanic scene.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that comes down to sort of sponsors. We, you know, don't have many people investing in it, but it's essentially a catch-22. You know, people aren't going to want to sponsor if no one's watching, and no one's going to watch if, you know, it's low competition, and it just ends up in a catch-22.
Yeah, and true with that, you've got to, I guess, have the community side of things building constant events that everyone can hear. There's no real, I guess, way for everyone to have a lot of events. Like, there's a few people that run constant weekly events, like GameStar run Heroes of the Storm and Overwatch events. A lot of the bigger teams like Chiefs get involved with. It's just, I guess, we've got to have more of the unknown guys finding out about these events and really wanting to get on, so we have a constant, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of sort of these unknown guys, League of Legends was sort of just put into the Uni Games, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you have, does UOW have a team going to that?
Yeah, so we did. So we actually just had a lot of the regionals happen this week and last in regards to a lot of the states. So we had our team go in, and we actually went really well. We came up to the top three. We came third after going UNSW came first, UTS second, and us third.
Okay.
So that was actually a lot of work from our LOL coordinators, Sam and Haley, because Riot was talking to them about having it firsthand at the Eastern Uni Games at Wollongong. So we were doing a lot of organization on that end.
Okay, cool.
So it's been, I guess, a lot of back end from our side. And then what happened was they're going to do a lot of things online and then have it at the end of year in Perth. It's going to have all the top two teams are going to fight it out live, which will be really great.
Okay, cool. So what happens from here? Do they have another couple of tournaments to try and figure out who's at what position, or?
Yeah, so from here on, we'll have the top from each state, and then they'll fight it out to find the top two teams.
Okay.
So Riot will be organizing a lot of helping that and trying to help, I guess, non-esport areas like the Uni Games kind of want to build those tournaments in to get more of the students and more people involved with the events.
Okay, cool. It's yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see if, you know, which state has the better team per se.
Yeah, well, because so the first year of like that was happened was the Uni started that up. Our previous local one, Matthew Ferris, and a few of the other universities, UNSW, got all those guys involved, and there was last year's autumn and spring collegiate. So it's a combination of the people who love doing it, the uni teams getting involved and all their coordinators getting it hyped up, that now the bigger people are getting involved in regards to uni games and right, really pushing it for more of an open, I guess, the mainstream positions and mainstream events in regards to like uni games.
Yeah. I mean, so like, yeah, go on, sorry.
Sorry. So yeah, so we've built it up that it was the UNSW and New Zealand, the last two. UNSW won it first and New Zealand won it in spring.
Okay. So it's like not just Australia, it's Australia and New Zealand, is it? Or
yeah, well, we try to get them involved, and they have brought, I guess, the high-end teams to the events to show that they did win the spring event.
Okay.
So UNSW won autumn and New Zealand won spring.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to see Riot actually pushing it and trying to advance it in a way to try and bring more than just, you know, the top two or three teams just battling it out week on week.
Mm. Well, because Riot's really good with that. They really do push the community side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can't, you know, it can't be not beneficial, I should say, for Riot to be pushing this, and, you know, other esports like Counter-Strike and Smite will eventually follow suit, I would imagine.
Well, I'm really hoping to push in regards to the uni side of things with Blizzard, Heroes of the Dorm, and an Australian or even ANZ version of that, because that's always a huge event every year in the States, and I'd like to try something over here with it.
Yeah. Do you reckon we have more of a chance of it being sort of with Heroes of the Storm, or do you reckon we might have something more like an Overwatch with that sort of thing now?
Both. Maybe we could try. We could try like a Blizzard event with Overwatch and Heroes of Storm, so we have something that kind of makes it viable for them to run. So we have both the Heroes of Storm 1 week and Overwatch next week in regards to all the universities. And we have one huge live event where we have the grand finals of Heroes of Storm and Overwatch. So it's a weekend event that makes it more viable, because we wouldn't be able to bring the numbers just for the one game. But maybe if we had both games, we could really make it happen.
Yeah. So sort of maybe have sort of like a mini BlizzCon sort of event over here where we sort of have, you know, the Overwatch, the Heroes of the Storm, maybe even StarCraft.
Yeah, StarCraft, and even Hearthstone as well.
Yeah.
So we would look at building that huge one-off event, because then that way it brings enough players that, I guess, you have the Australian side, which doesn't have as many people that we could have the one-off, but we could really make it a huge university event or even just event with those games.
Yeah, definitely. That'd actually be really good to see. Anyway, moving off the sort of formal part of the interview here, do you play any games? What are you playing at the moment?
So I'm currently playing a bit of Heroes of the Storm when I have time off organizing Game Fest. But game-wise, I played everything. I started off with a 64, I had a GameCube, I played with my mates, PS2, Xbox, I had an Xbox 360, I had a Wii, I have an Xbox One at the moment, I had a PS3, and I've played heaps of PC games. So my PC games were mainly Battlefield and strategy, like Command and Conquer.
Okay.
So I'm just really waiting out for Battlefield 1 to come out.
Yeah, that actually looks really good.
Oh, it's insane. Like, it'll never, I guess, the big thing for a lot of games recently has been push of how can it be an esports game, but Battlefield's always been those huge battles and just really breathtaking scenes of huge guns, tanks, armor, flying planes just smashing ahead of you.
Yeah, it seems like Battlefield's sort of gone the opposite way to COD there, where COD's more gone, we have to be an esports, so we've got to keep everything like this, whereas yeah, Battlefield's gone, let's just have fun.
Yeah, and like, you can always see, like, you have those events that happen and like those players, that's always like pull those videos on YouTube, and now you can have a lot of people interacting with those high-end players over stream and Twitch. So you can really, I guess, the game works with the community loving for it, and you don't have to try and build it for an esports game, because then it's sometimes built for failure.
Yeah. But you were saying you play quite a bit of, you play some Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Do you get competitive when you play? I assume you play with friends when you play it. Do you get competitive?
Not really. Like, we play a bit of fun games, and like, we do have a few games, like my mate, so we played over LAN, and we've played a few games just online, but we don't get really, I guess, that high-end serious that we're looking at playing competitively 2, 3, 4 times a week to really get our team on that level.
Yeah, fair enough. So you don't sort of, you know, someone makes a mistake and you start yelling at them?
Nah, we have a good bit of fun. We joke. We give them a bit of, I guess, crap for screwing up, but we won't go that far into them that they'll feel crap about it.
And I guess finally, do you follow any esports at all?
Yeah, so I've actually, I keep up with a bit of the Heroes of Storm stuff when I can, and I guess I've been keeping up with a lot of the ESL events. They're always good to watch, and I don't actually play Dota much, but the Dota majors are always a great watch. Yeah. Especially the recent one with the major, the production value was really great in regards to the previous event that we don't talk about, how poor that was. So they really brought it this time. And yeah. I guess MOBAs in regards to LoL and Dota, when they're really run well, even if you don't play the game much, you can really be encapsulated when you watch it because you really want to watch it. The commentators really make it intense. And yeah, like that. And a few CSGO games I'm always happy to watch because they are really intense when you watch them on a high-end competitive scene, and the commentators really make you really want to get into it.
Yeah. Do you find CSGO a little bit easier to watch than sort of Dota?
I guess CSGO is a lot easier from a broader audience because there's not as much you have to understand in regards to the game. Like you have your two teams, they're coming at each other and they have to kill each other or place a bomb, and they all work with similar guns. It's a lot simpler than you have Dota. Okay, you've got three lanes, you've got towers, you got jungle, you got itemization, you got different characters with a hugely different play style, and then of course you have tanks, supports, ADs. And then it makes it, I guess, a higher level for people to get on board for it.
Yeah. It becomes very confusing if you haven't at least played the basics or understand the sort of basics of one of the MOBAs out there.
Yeah, but it's like if anything, if you're watching Gridiron for the first time, you'd have no idea about, I guess, you have four downs, the 10-yard passing, how the ball game works, the different team structure or anything. So it's like any, I guess, competitive sport.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that pretty much wraps up our interview. If anyone's interested in finding UOW VGA, where can they find you guys?
Oh, yeah, so we're on Facebook under UOW VGA, or we do have a website, www.uowvga.com.au, and that has all the information about our different groups, information about GameFest, our Twitch channel, our TeamSpeak. So it's a lot easier for people that don't like using those social media platforms.
Okay, cool.
So they can still get on board of our events, because the good thing about Facebook events is they are public, so everyone can find that information and get involved.
Okay, so you make the events fully public, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Anyway, thank you for your time.
No way. Thanks, Darren.
Have a good one.
You too.
I think that's it. I think that's thank you to Drew from the University of Wollongong's Video Game Association for doing that interview with us. And yeah, so if you want to find us on social media or anything, you can come and find us on our website, which should be left in the description of something somewhere. And all our information is on there, all our game, like in-game names are on there, and you can follow me on Twitter at @AAE_Simon, and Taryn, you can find you at
@AAE_Taryn.
We've made it easy for everyone, so they can find us all very easily. And you can also find Ben at @AAE_Ben, as you
expect.
The
only problem is on the website, Ben's Steam still links to my account, so yeah.
If you click on my Steam, and then all our Steams are on my Steam, so it doesn't really matter. You can find us if you find one of us.
You're not meant to tell people that. They're all meant to come to me. Fuck Ben.
No, they're all meant to add me, and I'll send you everywhere. just add me everywhere.
Oh, you.
anything else to say, Tone?
Aloha. No. Fuck that.
Anything else for our
the Never mind. Fans? Aloha is hello. I don't know goodbye in Hawaiian.
Yeah.
I don't even know why Hawaiian. Adios.
Well, with that, we'll leave you. So tune in next week, hopefully, for our next episode. See ya.
Adios, muchachos. I don't
my car.